The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Man, the last 24 hours, some of y'all have completely lost it. The Chicago Bulls win a game against the Memphis Grizzlies, and now I'm seeing articles where the Bulls tank has failed and here's why, and all of the crazy stuff, listen, calm down. It is what it is. We're gonna have a real conversation today, even though we had one yesterday. But stop asking who's to blame for the tank being failed, because since February, the Bulls have gone 4-15, one of the worst records in the league. So what are we really talking about? But now with the Giannis news that he's going to be missing some time, it definitely is going to impact the Chicago Bulls. We're going to talk about it all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derek Hayes. But more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And man, listen, I knew that there was going to be a spiral after the Bulls went over the Memphis Grizzlies. I knew that there was going to be a spiral. Even I did not expect it to get to the point that it's gotten to, though, right? Like I said in the intro, there's articles being written over on Bleacher Nation about who's to blame for the failed tank. You got pro-tankers, anti-takers going back and forth against each other. And then you have some level-headed Bulls fans. I saw a great take from Big Day from CHGO, in which he talked about how, you know, the players are played to win. They're played to try to win basketball games. You can never be mad at players for going out there and trying to win. Same thing for coaches. Most coaches are going to try to coach to win. We talked about that on yesterday's episode. How, yes, while there are some coaches that are implicit in tanking, most coaches are going to try to coach to win. And then you have this thing that is like, I'm seeing like, why is Billy Donovan coaching people to win? The tank has failed, all this type of stuff. And it's just like, what I feel like a lot of these conversations are missing is a key point, right? And this is regardless of where you sit on the situation. If you think, hey, the Bulls should have started trying to tank at the start of the season. Okay, that's a completely separate thought. And I think people are conflating the two, right? And because people are just being loud with complaints, they're mixing the two different arguments. If you wanted to say, hey, the Bulls should have identified this earlier and they should have tanked earlier if they wanted to tank this season, so they could have had one of the best chances at a top four seed pick in the draft, okay. But that is a different conversation than being in reality, right? And that's where I think sometimes, and this is what I said about when you have any conversation about the Bulls and you say, hey, well, that wasn't a bad move. And they're like, none of the moves were good. The Bulls haven't won a playoff series in 10 years. And it's like, and you guys know who says the stuff like that. It's like, okay, yeah, they haven't. But that doesn't mean that every decision has been terrible from that point. Just like even if we had won a playoff series, it doesn't make every decision a good decision either, right? Like, it's a more complex conversation that needs to be had in there. But with that said, if you think that, hey, the Bulls should have decided to tank at the start of the season, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. All right, listen. Okay, while I don't agree with that, I understand that basis. But that does not conflate all of a sudden into saying now that it's somehow a failed tank by the Chicago Bulls because you know they aren't going to maximize their chances to get a top four pick. Like, that was never the goal. If you looked at what the Bulls did by the trade deadline, the fact they already were over 20 wins, and you thought the Bulls seriously had a chance to have one of the worst four records in the league, then You only owe that to your own unrealistic expectations. That's what failed you, not the Chicago Bulls. If you really thought that that was going to be the case, your mind failed you. The Bulls didn't fail in that case, because the decision that they made was the decision that they made then. They were never going to bottom out and be a bottom four team at the point in time where they started tanking. Now, what I like to talk about in the reality of this, let's keep in mind, the Bulls are on pace for either the 13th or 14th best or worst records in the league, or best odds in the lottery. Now they sit at 9th. So, you know, they wanted to increase their chance to get a better pick. And what I talked about even then is that the Bulls probably identified targets that would have been between 7 and 10 and said, listen, we can get one of these guys here. That's that jump start that we need, right? Not saying that there isn't some hope that they can get in the top four and things like that. I just think that there's a few things being conflated in this conversation. Now, like I said, the Bulls are 4-15 since the start of February. That is one of the worst records in the league. So, like I get it. The four wins have all come, like three of the wins have come in the last six games. I get that. I understand what you're looking at there. But when you look at it in reality, the Bulls lost 11 games in a row. They went a whole month without winning basketball. And they only moved up one spot. That shows you how far ahead all these tanking conversations were or these other teams were in their tank from the Chicago Bulls. Again, not saying what would have happened had the Bulls started. That's a different conversation to say where the Bulls would have been at the start of the season if they decided to tank. We're talking about the reality of what actually happened. At the time that they decided to tank, it was nearly impossible, unless they were going to lose out, for them to have one of the bottom four records in the league. And I think people need to keep that in mind. On top of that, again, when you have players that are healthy, that are actually part of your future, you should want those players playing to win. You should want those players invested in trying to win. Again, if I saw losers out there on the court to where they were trying to lose, I wouldn't want them on my team anymore. So I'm not going to be mad at Josh Giddey, Leonard Miller, Matis Buzelis, Trey Jones, right? These guys playing to try to win basketball games, because that's what they're paid to do. And I think people need to keep that into the framework of these complaints that they're going on. But the spiral that I've seen in the last 24 hours, I'm not going to lie, I'm disappointed in some of y'all. I am really disappointed in some of y'all, because it's just like, wow. Like, I get it. The Bulls aren't in a good state. And a lot of people will respond with the case of, well, the Bulls aren't in a good place, so how do you expect us to say anything good? Because I expect y'all to live in reality. That's just the reality of it, right? So, you know, it is what it is there. Now, there are some serious things that you do need to start looking at. The Milwaukee Bucks announced that Giannis is going to miss some serious time, right? And, you know, this was kind of, we'll see what happens in that one. Now, that does impact the Bulls' tank. Again, the Bulls, you know, I've said it, the Bulls could very well fall to 10th anyway, right? With the Milwaukee Bucks in that case, as it stands right now, with the Milwaukee Bucks actually having the same record as the Chicago Bulls, they actually, you know, we're technically tied for it right now. But you know, that's the thing that you got to look at. That's the risk that you ran into with the Milwaukee Bucks. They lost last night. Now they sit at 28-40, same record as the Chicago Bulls. So now the Chicago Bulls have moved down in their percentage chance to have the number 9 pick. And that's just the reality of it. Like, that's going to be something that happens. Like, again, if the Bulls want to, and that's not on the players, that's on the front office, they'd have to find a way to sit Josh Giddey and sit Matis Buzelis. Now, do you want that, right? And that's a question that you have to ask there. So, with things stand right now, the Bulls and the Bucks are tied at 28-40, right? So, the Bulls have a real risk of seeing the top four pick, the chance at a top four pick drop from 20.3% to 13.9%. That's what it will drop if the Milwaukee Bucks end up finishing with a worse record than the Chicago Bulls. So that's what you look at it when it comes down to it. So, you know, when we see when it comes down to how this continues to go, it is what it is, right? Now, with that said, that's 6 percentage points that the Bulls would drop. And the Bulls are going to be looking for lottery luck anyway. But if you look at it, like the Dallas Mavericks, they won a coin flip for the 11th best lottery odds, only to pass everyone in the lottery. That's what happened there, right? So the Bulls were one loss and a coin flip away from being at Cooper Flag themselves. So you got to look at those things. You see how it happens. Again, the Bulls finished with an actual, you know, worst record, and they didn't get it. So it is what it is when it came down to that. Can the Bulls still finish at number 9? Yes, they can. It's still there, right? We have a stretch of games coming up where it could prove very difficult for the Bulls to win. The benefit of where some of the teams that the Bulls are facing at, a lot of these teams are still fighting for playoff seeding and trying to gain the best seeding possible, which could lead to the fact that the upcoming slew of games that the Bulls are facing at home, no less, right, could end up being where teams are fighting hard. Toronto, Cleveland, Houston, those are all teams that are still fighting and jockeying for their playoff position. You then follow that up with Philly. There's going to be another team still playing for playoff position. Then you have OKC. You know, we'll see what OKC does, but, you know, even if they sit guys, because OKC may have stuff locked in by March 27th when we face them, it's still a pretty deep team and a better team than the Chicago Bulls. Then you look at, then we face off against Memphis. You know, we'll get to do this whole thing over again, because if the Bulls win against Memphis again, oh my God, I can't do another 24 hours like the last 24 hours that we had, but nonetheless, it's probably going to happen. And then you go into San Antonio. So you have a game against San Antonio. So, you know, but that last, like, week of the season, that's where it's going to be key for the Bulls, right? The last week of the season, the Bulls face off two games against Washington, a game against Orlando, and a game against Dallas. So those two games against Washington and the game against Dallas, those could be against teams that are just out taking you hard. And I could already see it. If the Bulls finish the season 3-1 over their last four games, and then, oh my God, don't let the team behind them or ahead of them leapfrog them and win the lottery. Oh my God, it's going to be a calamity, right? But that's just the reality of what's going to happen. Again, I know I'm somebody who likes, I talk about things in reality, right? I try, you know, we'll talk about rumors and stuff like that, of course, like that just, that's part of the course. But I like to, when we're having these type of layered conversations, actually have the layered conversation part of it, which some people like to leave out and just like to focus on the sensationalism, the tank coat, the take culture, the let me say whatever's going to get the most clicks and views. Listen, I would love to be able to put a video out and say, oh my God, the Bulls failed the tank, and with my hand on my head on the thumbnail like this, and I'm sure that it would get wild clicks. I don't give a fuck about none of that. What I give a damn about is having a real and honest conversation about where this team is. And some people, their expectations were just unrealistic. And I say some because I'm not saying that that was all Bulls fans. I'm not saying that at all. But some were very unrealistic in the case that, like, if you really thought the Bulls were going to have a bottom four record after not deciding to tank until the trade deadline, you just owe that to bunk weed. I don't know what you're smoking or if it's something stronger than that. Is it bath salts? What are y'all on? Because that was never going to be the reality in which the Bulls lived in. And that was evident when we did it. We had that conversation when it happened, right? We were having those conversations. But some people, for some reason, are so caught up in their own shit and just wanting to complain and using the whole excuse of, it's been 10 years since, like, calm down. Calm down. Put your feet in the dirt. Like, the same things about people that are still mad about the damn triple-double graphic. Calm the fuck down. Chill out. It's going to be okay. Whatever happens is going to happen, or it's not going to be okay. And at the end of the day, it goes back to what I said yesterday. There's only so much that's in our control as fans. And you got to live in the reality of that, at least sometimes. With that said, moving on to the next topic, Modest Muzelis joined elite territory, which, you know, a lot of people have been talking a lot about this. And not to say that it necessarily means that Modest is already anything, so to say. It just means that the trajectory of Modest Muzelis is still legitimate. He joined Victor Wembanyama in the Wear 100 and 100 Club, which is really great to see when it comes down to it, right? That over 100 threes, over 100 blocks this season, and Wimby is an MVP candidate. Modest Muzelis, if he ever gets there, Bulls fans better rejoice if that ever happens, right? But when it comes down to it, like, Modest Muzelis is one of the closest things, regardless of how you feel about it. I know my boy Winton's probably already typing now. It's one of the closest things that the Bulls have to a franchise headline. It just is right now. And, you know, that also highlights the fact of where we are as a franchise right now. But Modest Muzelis is on the precipice of this. There's no Kobe White here anymore. There's no Ayo Dosunmu. It's Modest Muzelis and it's Josh Giddey. That's what we are building with right now, right? And so when you look at 67 games, all starts for Modest Muzelis. He's averaging 16.1 points, 5.6 rebounds, 2.1 assists, and 1.5 blocks, shooting the ball 47% from the field, 36% from three, and 79% from the free throw line. Need to get those free throw line numbers up, my boy, and get to the free throw line a little bit more, right? But those are very impressive and solid numbers. But it's still not indicative of what Modest Muzelis can become as a player in the long term. Again, and that's in the long term. I spent the whole majority of the offseason trying to tell you guys, stop trying to look at Modest Muzelis as who he can become and be in the reality of who he is now. And over the last 10 games, 23.7 points, 7.1 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 1.6 blocks per game, and he's hitting 3.6 three-pointers per game. All good. He's 20th in the league in scoring over that span, right? So that just goes to show you the potential that's there for Miles Bouzelas, right? And again, I say potential because you need to do it consistently for a whole season until I'm ready to say that that's just who you are, but he has the potential of being that player, right? And when you look at it, for example, you know, it puts him around Brandon Miller, Reed Shepard, as far as three-pointers made per game, and he's right up there with Jalen Duren as far, and that's a center, as far as blocks per game over that stretch as well. Miles Bouzelas is a legitimate talent, and he could become a franchise star. That's the potential that's there. Now, he may not hit that potential. And like I've said many times before, Miles Bouzelas may end up capping out as a damn good starter on your team. And if that ends up being the case, that's perfectly fine, right? But the thing that the Bulls should be trying to look at and hope is that Miles Bouzelas can become a franchise star. Now, that doesn't mean that you only have one. You should hope that Josh Giddey can become one. You hope that your top 10 pick in this year's draft can become one as well, because if those guys all ascend to that level, that's when you can start getting the franchise out of the depths of hell that it's in, right? The Bulls need a player to transcend and become a star. And I can say that Josh Giddey is putting up star-level numbers, right? I could say that. You know, it is what it is. You average a 20-point triple-double almost. That's star-level production. So you have that part of it, right? And so I think that when it comes down to this, it's a big thing. And I probably drop a video on this. There's a game tonight, so maybe not tonight. Maybe I'll record it as a bonus episode. But I need the Bulls to get it right with Modis where they got it wrong with Lauri Markkanen. And I think that that is a big part in this. And not to say, you know, I've been somebody who's more harsh on Lauri in the sense that as of right now, Lauri Markkanen is 7-foot Zach LaVine. He's a player that can put up big numbers, but is not proven to be a winner, right? He's not been on a winning team. Now, that's more so because of Utah and their desire to tank year in, year out. And now with their shift of that going into next season, we'll see if they can come out of that. But overall, like, Miles Bouzelas is a player that is from Chicago, which already adds a different little twang to it. But on top of that, he's a player that does have the potential to turn into a star. It's just the reality of it. That's potential's there. You got a lot that he needs to prove to become a star, but you can already see Miles Bouzelas is good. He's good. And if people still doubt if Miles Bouzelas is good, then that's just them dealing with their own trauma, like my boy Wynn. Like, that's them dealing with their own trauma. Miles Bouzelas is good. How good can he be? But I tell you what, it feels good to be in a place where you can even ask that question, because we haven't been able to ask that about a lot of our rookies that are drafted under Billy Donovan. We were still asking if Dalen Terry and Julian Phillips could be NBA players consistently, right? But now we have a player in Modis who is no doubt an NBA player, and there's no doubt that he's good. The question about it is, how good can he be, and can he be great? And that's going to be determined by what he continues to add to his game, how he continues to develop. But one thing that I said in just the Lauri Markkanen comparison is that one of the things that hurt Lauri here, of course, was injuries, right? And we haven't, knock on wood, thank God, we haven't had to worry about that with Modis, really. But also was coaching. And not to say that Billy Donovan is nearly as bad of a coach as Jim Boylan, because he's not. If anybody tries to tell you that, they again, caught up in their trauma. But you got to ask yourself, could Billy Donovan be limiting the ceiling of Miles Bouzelas, much like Jim Boylan limited the ceiling with how good of a coach or how bad of a coach he was? And then the reason why I have that question is because of, like, the no mid-range thing. When you look at it in the G League Ignite, not to say that's going to transfer one for one, Miles did have an in-between game. He did have a floater. He did have those things. And those things have no longer been in his tool shed. Now, that's worked out, because if that's been worked out of his game so he can focus more on strengths, and they're going to add that back on and strengthen that later, okay, good. But then let's see the pathway, because just telling him absolutely no mid-range shots, that's not the pathway to add that back into his game. And that's the part that leaves me a little bit concerned sometimes when it comes to how Billy Donovan coaches. But we'll see, right? All right, last topic before we get up out of here. The Bulls, March Madness is there, and we know the Bulls are in the lottery. A lot of people are asking and hoping that the Chicago Bulls can propel themselves with lottery luck into the top four of the draft, right? I want to talk about three players that the Bulls or Bulls fans should be watching in March Madness. Now, first, I think you got to look at this, right? The reason why I'm pointing out these players is because of the missing pieces that's on the Bulls team. One, we do not have a long-term guard next to Josh Giddey, and no, It's not a guarantee that Colin Sexton's going to be that. Jaden Ivey, you don't want to bet on him being that with the injury stuff that we're talking about with him. And we just don't have that on the roster yet. Colin Sexton is better as a bench role, even if the Bulls do keep him, than anything else going forward, right? So the Bulls need players with talent. They need another scorer next to Josh Giddey. We know we need a center. And, you know, we need wings, right? So those are things that you can look at for. I think ultimately what you're looking at for the Chicago Bulls is switchable players. That's what you need to. Players that can play multiple positions, that can play in transition basketball as well, and we'll see what happens there. But, of course, Cam Boozer is a player to watch in all of this, right? Like, if the Bulls were in a position to draft Cam Boozer, even though he's not my favorite prospect in this draft, this is a guy that you look at the interior presence that he could bring as far as rebounding and interior scoring presence. That's something that you look at. Cam Boozer, for what it's worth, has been a winner at every level of basketball that he's played, right? And so when you look at somebody like that, if you add that to a Bulls team, that's great. That could be great for the Bulls. My favorite guy in this draft and to watch in March Madness is A.J. DeBonta. Like, I love this kid, man. I think that the floor that he the ceiling that he has is ridiculous, but he also has a high floor. 6'9" with a wingspan of over 7 foot. More modern forward spots as well, can get to his spot, can finish over any player as well, right? And you look at it also, like, he's a Jimmy Butler type three level scorer, to where it's not the most fluid, but he's going to get it done. He's going to find a way to get it done, right? An athlete that's ridiculous. But again, I think that A.J. DeBonta has that leadership mentality. And so I think that he has really good decision making as well. Playing off a player like Josh Giddey could be great. And then, of course, lastly, Keaton Wagner. You guys know I love Keaton Wagler for this team. I think that he's a really good backcort fit with Josh Giddey long term. He doesn't rely on just his athleticism, which is really good for players that are scorers like he's able to be. The 6'6", the versatility, the on-ball, off-ball things that Billy Donovan loves to see. If Billy Donovan's still here, which he probably will be. And then when the reality of it is, Keaton Wagler is just a bucket getter. The dude goes out there and gets buckets, and he knows how to collapse a defense. You put him out there with a Josh Giddey that knows how to manipulate a defense, and that's where you start looking at some things. So those are the three players that, of course, to look out for in March Madness. I'll come back tomorrow with three underrated players to look out for in March Madness as well. But at least for now, those are the guys that I'm pushing. But that's going to do it for today's episode, y'all, man. I want to hear from you guys on this one. Is the tank actually, do you guys feel like the tank has failed? Again, in reality of where it is, do you think people are overreacting to the Memphis Grizzlies win? How do you feel about Modest Bouzelis right now as well? What do you think his ceiling is? I want to hear from you guys in that one. Make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel as well. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. But that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.